I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Giles Bidder, and I produced Creeper, the story of sex, death, and the infinite void. Throughout many of the conversations, hours of conversations I had with the band members and people close to the band, much of what we were talking about came from a very sensitive and emotional place. So this is a trigger warning. This program contains extremely sensitive information which will be disturbing for some listeners. If you're at risk of being disturbed by serious mental health issues, I advise that you stop listening to this podcast. If you're struggling, I've provided some resources on mightymoonmedia.com where you can find information that might help you know that you're not alone. Two primary sources of that information are from Mind Mental Health Charity and Help Musicians UK, who have a 24/7 support line, Music Minds Matter. Thanks for listening.
This one will remain with us the longest. Because not only is it the last show of this album campaign, it is the last show we'll ever do.
It was almost as though our audience expected something to happen. There have been numerous times over the last course of the year where we'd had death threats and things. And I remember my girlfriend at the time said, she was like, they're going to kill you. I remember thinking, but this is what they want.
It was just astonishing to see the reaction and just to see how much Creeper means to people. And even now, it's such a big part of people's lives that they're not willing to just let it go. And that's an amazing, amazing feeling.
I'm Zandy Berry, and I produced Sex, Death, and the Infinite Void for Creeper.
Instead of actually getting any work done, we spent about 6 hours just listening to records.
And I went back to the hotel with Ian, and he turned to me and just said, this is our guy.
Sex, Death, and the Infinite Void. You are born, you live, and you die, making your exit back to the infinite void. Science today tells us that 95% of the known cosmos is dark energy and dark matter. That's the no thing. It's not nothing. It's the no thing. It's the infinite void. That leaves 5% for things like planets, Earth, the sun, the stars. So there you have it. And while you're here, how much you suffer, how much you are in bliss, is up to you.
The whole thing is just a whirlwind. It's not a normal band. It's not just like, oh yeah, let's write some songs. Oh yeah, let's play some shows. Like, that. What goes into it and what is behind it? It's just like, it's a whole book's worth. And I think that's just what makes it so exciting. And that's what people hold on to. That is why it's such a big part of people's lives, I think, because it's so intricate and different. Everything's just a whirlwind. Like, everything Creeper related is a whirlwind. And I kind of live for that. I think we all do, really.
When things really started to roll for Creeper, I think it would have been very easy for people to be like, oh, they're getting all of this press attention and they're getting this tour and they're doing that. But I mean, Will and Ian spent 9 years in a van in punk and hardcore bands. I mean, they really did put in the time. I mean, they are legit through and through. It means everything that they've done with Creeper is a considered decision. It's not because that's all they know or anything like that. It's they've worked their craft. They took everything from punk that they loved and infused all these other aspects, and that's how it's just grown and continues to grow and evolve as Creeper. But it's still what fundamentally grounds it is a certain realness and a grittiness. Will always wants to talk to people, and he has an incredible way of just putting everybody at ease. I mean, when you do these things and you go visit these offices and everything, he'll just start chatting to people like he's known them forever. And he asks them what's going on with them rather than just sitting back and waiting for people to ask him because he's been brought in as the attraction today and he's a center of attention. It's a really cool thing to watch. He creates these incredible characters and he's this huge flamboyant person, but he's a wonderfully down-to-earth guy. He's got an incredible work ethic. He really believes in working hard and earning things and not taking the easy route. I mean, there's never the easy route with Creeper. And as a manager, every artist is different and they all have their strengths, and some artists don't like going into tough situations or whatever. But I mean, fuck, if like that's A to B, well, we're going to go A, B, C, D, E, F, fuck off a couple of letters and then get to wherever you're supposed to be getting. The amount of stuff we've been through, the amount of difficult conversations we've had to have. I mean, for a while, I mean, there wasn't a day that it wasn't difficult conversations. I mean, we always joke about it. We call it Chaos City. Him and I live in Chaos City. And every day we'd wake up and you'd call each other and you'd be like, oh, how high are the flames burning today? Like, what's the first thing we've got to deal with? What's the first fire we've got to put out? But we've always got along and we always find a way to laugh and get through it. And I mean, he's pretty incredible in that way. I'm Ian Dickinson and I manage the band Creeper.
The thing with Creeper is that it's just part of the whole thing of the experience of Creeper is just this utterly insane, unbridled creativity. And yet it's madness, but yet at the same time, there's always this really strong vision. Will thinks very visually. He just has a lot of ideas. And Ian, you know, and him just have this sort of crazy vision for the album, you know, a story, a concept. And I thought it was great.
I'm Bees. I'm a British music journalist, and I now work out of Hollywood, California. In the press, right, there's this cliche that, like, look out for it. When a band does a new album coming out and people do the through hell to deliver this record, frequently it's bollocks, you know, it's just trying to ham up a narrative to tell a story. But in Creeper's case, I think there was some incredibly heavy things going on. Ian was here the first time that they were working on setting up the record. I mean, we were at a karaoke night together, the three of us, having the best time possible. And then came a turn in Ian's health. And I see Will and Ian as a total duo. By that, I mean the full-blown Morrissey and Marr, McCartney and Lennon, you know, Manson and Twiggy, you know, the classic songwriting duos. I see them as that. So Ian not being here had a real toll on Will.
The first obstacle that we really had to overcome, and it was a very serious one and upsetting one, was Ian Miles's health. He just, you know, he came out to LA a couple times and we had gotten quite far into the album. And then I got this phone call from Will. Actually, it was a text. And he said, can you talk? And I don't know, I always have just sort of an extra ESP sense with my artists that I'm working with. You know, you get to know people really well. And I thought, that doesn't sound good. I wonder what's happening.
After the Coco show, everyone was stoked. I mean, everything felt amazing. We'd ended the campaign with a huge bang all over NME, trending on Twitter and everything. And the next stop is LA. You're off to Hollywood to write the big follow-up. And then it all just crashed and burnt. Ian's carried away and sectioned, and Will's mum loses her fiance, and you just could never have seen it coming, ever.
So, it's strange to talk about because I've only it was so cloudy for a long time, like I couldn't remember much. But it's been like a year and a half, since I came out of hospital. So I think I got all the pieces together. Like, I think I remember it. And I think, I didn't notice at the time, but in hindsight, I can see the little like building blocks that led up to it. Hey, my name's Ian and I play guitar in Creeper. Like, I became really obsessed with religion, and I would stay up like most nights. This lasted for like maybe 3 weeks, I don't know, 4 weeks. So I'd be staying up like researching religion and like, I don't know, I'm kind of like, I get carried away with conspiracies, and then like, I was looking into like problems with the government and then links between the government and religion. And it all just built up to this delusion that I was convinced that. So I thought religion were like people that follow religions and church were collecting money, and the same for like policemen and like collecting money from fines, parking fines and speeding tickets. I thought they were all like the foot soldiers for the government, you know, like the police would give the money to religion, and then people of different religions would funnel that money back up to the government, and they were using the money to buy nuclear weapons to blow up the world. Like, that's what I was convinced of. And at the time, I had sort of very vivid hallucinations, like I thought I was part of an underground alliance that were trying to fight against the religion, fight against the government. And other members of this faction were sending me messages, like, but it wasn't like in my head. It was weird. It was like in front of my eyes. It was kind of like, you know, in like 80s sci-fi movies, and they're wearing those goggles where they can like look around. Kind of like Alien. Yeah. Like that sort of thing. So I would get, these messages sort of pop up in front of my eyes, and it was me communicating with the other members of this faction. And they were saying, oh, you know, you're the leader of the Southampton bracket of the company of this movement, and you need to eradicate religion, because they were the foot soldiers of the whole... Yeah, they were just the foot soldiers of the whole organization, you know. I sort of saw it as like a pyramid scheme, like all they were like on the bottom collecting money to funnel up to the government. I mean, it was above the government; it was like MI5. So yeah, I was selected to tackle religion. So yeah, it built up, and I wasn't sleeping. I was writing everything down. I had like books and books, just scribblings, which now in hindsight we threw them away now, but I look back at some of them and it's just for want of a better term, you know, it was nuts. Some of the stuff that I was writing down was just gibberish. I guess it sort of climaxed on this one day where I knew it had to be done that day. For some reason, that was the day. So that was it. I got up. Kat was at work. Kat's my wife. Kat was at work. I got up. I grabbed my stuff. I started walking. And I walked all the way into Southampton from Totten, which is like maybe 4 or 5 miles, just like stomping like a fucking, like a Terminator, just stomping all the way there, like absolutely furious, like seething. And I got there, and the first thing I saw was at the train station, and there were, I mean, this just shows my ignorance of the state I was in. I think that they were Mormons. Like, that just shows my ignorance in that moment. Like, I was just out of control. Like, I walked up to them. I was fucking, like, if you can imagine, my cheeks were red. I was out of breath because I was walking so fast for so many miles. And I just stumbled up to them and I just started screaming at them. I was like, ah, this is all a fucking lie. If you want to believe in anything, believe in yourself. Like, it just went on. And a lot of it was gibberish. And a lot of it, there was some truth to it. I think that's where it gets difficult, where, like, there's a line, isn't there, where the truth bleeds into the make-believe. Where the line is drawn when you go into hospital is whether I'm at risk to myself or if I'm at risk to other people. Like, if I'm going to hurt myself or hurt other people, that's the deciding factor, whether you do or don't go into hospital. But anyway, like, going back to those people outside the train station, at the time, I thought I could kill people, like, with my mind. And I could just blink at people and they would die. So that's what I did. Like, I shouted at these guys. I was screaming and shouting at them. Your religion's a lie. Like, you expect young children to repent for their sins when they don't even know what they're doing. Blah, 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 blah. And then I blinked at them. And in my mind, they were dead. So I carried on, like, furiously, like, stomping around Southampton. And then it happened again. Same sort of people doing the same thing because they're dotted all around Southampton. And in that moment, I was like, fuck, I need some other people to help me out here. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I was like, which one of my friends is really going to, like, help me out and back me and like, would believe me, you know? And in my head, I was like, oh, Will's really into conspiracies. And I was like, fuck, yeah, Will's going to take this all on board and we're going to go and tackle this together. So I stomped from Southampton thinking I had killed 4 people. And I was going up to Will's house to try and get him involved and to get him to come with me and carry on the mission to kill out religion in Southampton. And I was walking to his house, but he wasn't at his house. He was, like, on a road near his house. And he looked at me and he was like, oh, Ian, hey, dude. And I sort of stumbled up to him and grabbed his arm. I was like, dude, I've done it.
He said, mate, I've finally done it. I've just killed 2 people. He was in a real state of mania. Like, he was really, really, really excited. And he just was speaking really fast. In my mind, what had happened there was, this is the problem was, at the time, Ian has always been a very eccentric person. And it's one of the reasons I've always gravitated towards him so much. He's very... he's off kilter and he says things. He has an imagination like no one else I've ever met. He's, I'd say, like a hyper creative person to a point where, you know, it is completely all he can think about. It's all he can does it every hour of the day. So he his imagination and things run wild of him a lot. But at this exact moment, he'd had a penchant for horror films and. A lot of the sort of literature that comes along with those things too. So there was a minute where I was genuinely quite concerned because it felt like maybe in his weakened state, this could be something that was real and that had happened.
And he just looked at me. I it's weird that I can remember it now because I couldn't for so long. He just looked at me. The panic in his eyes was, like, so real. I had never seen Will like that before. Like, his face was, like, so different to anything I had ever seen him express before. But anyway, I was just completely convinced that it was going to help me out. I was like, dude, I've killed these four people. You need to help me get the rest. There's like a couple churches here. There's a church here. We can go to that church, burn it down. The priest will die in the church and the people in the church will die along with them. That's it. We're like eradicating them. We'll move on to the next church.
So I grabbed him by his arm and he was like at one point almost crying and back to normal and manic again. He was like kind of on and off and on and off, really, really flittering between these two modes. I kept thinking, I'm going to have to call the police. I'm going to have to call the police and my best friend.
I was like, oh, fuck. Like, Will isn't going to follow me on this. Like, he's not going to be a part of this with me.
He was in an absolutely manic state. And he started walking, telling me he was having to go and see where these bodies were. He wanted to be sure that he'd killed these people down by the train station. And so he told me he was going to the train station. So I said, I'll walk with you. And so we started power walking. And he kept telling me, we have to do this, mate. I have to do this. This is what's going, you know, this is the only way I can stop them and all this sort of thing. So suddenly I'm in this reality where I'm like, I can't use my phone right now because I don't want to spook him and I don't want to lose him. So all I can do really is stay with him by his side and try and make sure he doesn't hurt anybody. So that was my rationale there. And we started walking. We were walking along and he said, mate, in a minute, I'm going to take a left and I'm going to run. And when I do, I don't want you to follow me. You have to let me do this. And of course, he took a left and ran, and I ran after him. What ended up happening next is a little bit of a comedy of this story.
And Will started chasing me. And I don't know if you've ever seen Will run, but it's quite funny. He looks like Woody, you know, like at the end of Toy Story, when he's chasing the van to jump in with the other toys, like flailing limbs. So yeah, he was chasing me around the streets of Southampton. And I was just fucking screaming back at him. I was like, dude, you're never going to catch up with me. I've been training for the apocalypse for like years now. And he was like, Ian, just slow down. Come back, dude, come back. And then I got round a corner and I noticed he was like quite far behind me. So I ducked behind a bin and he came back. And went round the corner and I got away from him because he didn't see me behind the bin. He kept running down towards the train station because I told him I had killed people at the train station. This is so weird talking about this so normally because it's like, it's not normal. Like, I've talked to people about like the outline. Like I've like talked to people and said, oh, you know, I had a manic episode. I as a result, I had to go into hospital because I was really unwell. But I've never even said this stuff out loud. I think that's why it's so weird to me, because it feels so just like flippant. I'm just saying it like I'm telling a story when actually it was really real.
That day I had to throw myself into situations that I never could ever have foreseen happening. I called Kat, I called Matt Reynolds, and we had to begin this manhunt for him because at this point, he was very dangerous. Matt Reynolds is a friend of Ian and mine from a long time ago, from punk rock. He used to play in a band called Howard's Alias that we used to go and see when we were younger. He's one of the best musicians I've ever met. And he worked under a guitar tech role or a tour manager role, depending on where we were in the world, for Creeper for a number of years. He was one of the closest people to the project. Matt agreed to meet me at the train station, and Kat was driving around town looking for him. I walked down to the train station. Kat asked me to call the police. So I'm on the way down to the train station, and I had to call 999.
Thank you for calling 999. What's your emergency, please?
But I had to explain, I think my friend's having a psychotic episode in Southampton City Centre. He might be dangerous to other people, and that he wants to cause harm to a religious group. And immediately on the phone, the tone of the conversation changed drastically from a very understanding 999 operative to somebody basically about to dispatch an anti-terror unit.
On that day, whenever somebody talked to me, I was I kept saying to them, I'm great. They'd be like, sit down, talk to me, what's going on? I'd be like, dude, I'm fucking great. Like, I finally have a purpose in life. I have something to do. I have something. I have people relying on me. Like, I am legitimately the best I've ever been in my entire life. And which is weird for me because I never have that sort of conviction. I'm never direct like that ever. So yeah, I ducked behind the bin. Will carried on running, and obviously my mind was racing like a million thoughts per second. I was like, Will. As soon as Will had left, I forgot that he was even chasing me. So I carried on with my mission, and I went there. I was like, oh, there's a church around the corner. I'll go set that church on fire. So I went round to the church, and I like kicked the door of the church through, and I ran into the church, and the church was empty, but I heard some like scuffling to my right, and I turned around, and there was like a big wooden door with like metal like imprints, and I like put my hand on the door, and the door was like really cold, and I knew somebody was in there, so I did it again. I fucking kicked the door through. And in there was like this strange old guy and like this like young dude with curly hair. He was quite a big guy. Like, he was it was just like, I remember going in through the door. They turned round and looked at me as if like, what the fuck are you doing? And then again, I went off on my spiel. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? This is all a lie. Let people be people. Like, stop dictating. Stop telling people they're going to hell and blah, blah, blah. People need to learn from their own. I went on and on and on and on. And I was like, it was probably incoherent, to be honest. But in my mind, it made complete sense. I said to him, I'm going to burn this fucking church down. You can't stop me. And he looked at me and he said, this church is made of stone. And I went, oh shit. So like, I did my thing. I blinked at them, thought I had killed both of them, walked out and repeat. Like, I stormed down. I was like, oh, there's another church down here. This time it was bigger. I was like, fuck yeah. I've killed six people now. I'm going to go bigger. I'm going to go to a big church. So I stormed down to that church, which was like a little bit more central in town. At that point, I had to gather my thoughts. I was sat outside. I was like, right, this is a bigger church. There's going to be more people in there. It's going to be a bloodbath. I know I got to kill all of them. This church is wood and I can burn this church down. I'm doing really well. And like, in my mind, I was getting messages through, like, well, in my eyes, I was getting messages through from people saying, dude, I'm watching you. You're killing this. Like, keep going, keep going. And that was like, that was making it, making me even more determined. So I collected my thoughts. I stomped around, started just about to go into the church. And my wife, Kat, just turned up. And she was stood like right in front of me. And she grabbed my arm. Fucking hell. Oh man, just give me like one sec.
This is a Mighty Moon Media podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.